Welcome, everyone, back to Express Yourself. I have two special guests, Alia Howe and Stefano DeFray.
Yes.
And you all are hosting a salon at the Launchpad on Saturday. That's tomorrow, September 22nd at the Launchpad.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yep, that's correct.
So, Alia, would you like to give us a little background of the salon?
I think there's so many ways
to enter into talking to you about salons and what they mean to me. But I think one magical way for me is that they were the start of the women's movement in France. In the 1800s, women used to invite philosophers, poets, musicians, performers into their living rooms, the salon, the la sala. And they would curate this to organize what they wanted to know themselves about the outside world, because they weren't able to participate in politics then, they weren't voting, they weren't able to comment publicly. It all had to go through the male voice of the time. And so this was the beginning of them being able to ask questions and curate contrasting, conflicting politicians or poets to invoke arguments. So it was the beginning of women being really interested in the world, learning about the world, inventions, and what was the artistic voice at the time, and posing questions towards them. And for myself personally, I grew up with salons. My father was a scientist and a classical pianist, and once a month on Sunday afternoons, we would have people come into the house and share what they were thinking of inventing or what they had invented into a classical quartet. He was also very interested in different religions, and so sometimes he would invite ministers from different churches to talk about their faith and interpret different things. My father was quietly provocative in terms of wanting to know. And then historically, you have the famous Bloomsbury Salon, the Algonquin Salon in New York, and I got involved in salons in London and in Philadelphia. And it was the Philadelphia salon founder, Andrea Clearfield, who is an Aspen Music Festival student alumni in composition, who has a salon that's been running for 35 years. I performed in her salon in Philadelphia, and at Justice Snow's, which used to be the restaurant below the Wheeler Opera House, Kylie Michelle had this idea to have salons here, and Andrea got involved, and then Andrea asked if I would co-curate, and so together we began to invite artists from our different spheres. Mine is a movement, choreography, spoken word, performance artist background, and hers is really classical composition.
So you brought the salon concept to the Roaring Fork Valley. What year was
she
that?
She brought it in. She ushered it in.
8 years ago. So
8 years ago.
2010,
wow.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, this is our 8th year anniversary.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that to us here in the Roaring Fork Valley.
You're welcome. And it wouldn't still be going on if the people of the Roaring Fork Valley didn't love it. A salon has that I curate six artists that share 15 minutes of what they're passionate about. Finished works, works in progress, in all different mediums.
And we have a visitor here, Stefano, who I know is not a stranger to the Roaring Fork Valley. I think I met you making puppets at Susie Lindblom's house.
I was known to be a puppet maker. His name was Gaston. He was a French puppet, and we had met on the Thompson Divide during that time and protesting against Thompson Divide, and that's where we had met through Michael Gorman, a friend of ours.
Yes,
and it's nice to see you now. You've got two children. The last time I saw you, one. So the family's growing, you know.
That's been a few years.
It's been a few years.
And I think you told me you were working on a film last time I saw
you. Yep, yeah.
So what have you been up to, and where is home base?
So home base is New York City. I come back often to work. An editor here, Krisha Carter-Geis, is amazing in Carbondale. So we've been cutting movies together. And we met through Alia. And Alia and I have had an artistic relationship for many, many years, initially through poetry. And then, you know, from herself as an artist and wanting to get people involved, constantly having people engage, bringing out sides of people where they're not even sure if they are willing to go or if they're comfortable doing, always encouraging them. I started to be involved in the salon, doing some poetry. And then this is, I think, my third time. Because I presented, this will be the third film, the second film, but the third time that I participate, and it's credit to her, you know, whether it's Aspen or Carbondale and all different places, she really brings together a great curated program.
And Stefano's really game. He even danced as an elephant outside a window.
Puppet maker, elephant to dancer, modern dancer. I'm willing. I'm game for it all. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you like to tell us about the film?
Yes, I would. So the film is called The Girl Who Cannot Speak. It premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, but more importantly, the first U.S. premiere will be here in Carbondale on the 22nd of September again. 7 p.m. is when our program starts. And the story follows five women. All stories of trauma, sexual abuse, women of different backgrounds. So from the ages of as low as 15, 16 to 67, 68 years old. There's a woman from Ireland, someone from Madrid, Atlanta, Georgia, and you know, different places all over the world. And it follows their stories, what happened, but also how it affected their lives and how they became heroes in their own story, how they handled trauma, how they became heroes beyond the circumstances of what happened. I feel very, I think of it as a local film in the Roaring Fork Valley because I spent 2 months editing the film with someone, with Krisha, and getting insight from Alia and other friends of mine all in the Roaring Fork Valley of what they thought of this topic as it was going on. And so it was made really here, and I did principal photography. It was all shot in New York, but all the post-production and all the edit was born out of Carbondale.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're featuring the film at the Salon on Saturday.
I am featuring the film on Salon on Saturday. And I also want to say what is great about people from Carbondale coming to see it and coming to see all the artists, because there are so many phenomenal artists that are in the program, is that this film will be playing for NBC. We licensed it to NBC in October. So really, the first time that someone is going to get a chance to see it is here, and it's appropriate, you know, it's apropos because there's so many. I love the 2 months working on it here.
Great.
Yeah.
I find that just so exciting, it having been played at the Cannes Film Festival and then its U.S. premiere is in this beautiful, intimate space in Carbondale. And I also want to say, as a mum and possibly worried parents out there, that children are welcome to the Salon, and Stefano's film is placed at the end, and there will be an opportunity for you to take your younger children out, because this subject matter is not appropriate for little ones, and maybe even for your little inner child it might not be the right moment, and you might want to take yourself outside too. So it's right at the end of the program, and we don't recommend it for young children.
I think that that's a very, 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 very appropriate note that Alia said, and I know also it was discussed with me before, you know, where we would place it. I think it's so smart that it's at the end. Having said that, though, it's not graphic in that sense, but the subject matter is it's a documentary. So sometimes going to those places that are very real hurt, and they're hard. So it's important for the audience to know what they're getting, you know, that it's a difficult thing. So,
well, it sounds like the whole story comes to be inspirational.
Yeah, it is. I've felt inspired by the story 100%, and I've grown too as a human being. I was frightened to do this film as a man. I wasn't sure if I had the sensitivity to do it. To be honest, I was not looking forward to it. But I became friends, very close friends, with one of the women who was one of the victims, and it was really worthwhile. But I had a lot of reservations at the beginning.
And truly, Carbondalians, it would not have won Fifth Path at the Cannes Film Festival if it wasn't a really important film to be seen and heard.
And congratulations, thanks, by the way, on
your
success. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Well, so much of it is being, you know, you guys who live here have a great sense of community. We have a great sense of community also in New York, but it's there's the volume is much higher. But what is really amazing is that from working on films, I've worked already on three films with Krisha, and I met Krisha because of Alia. So I always feel very loyal and very, very, very generous to showing any works that I have first year, because it wouldn't have been possible if I never set foot here, you know, and the people, because of the people here.
Yes. If you're just tuning in, my guests are Stefano Defray and Alia Howe, who will be at the Salon at the launch pad in Carbondale at 7 p.m. on September 22nd. And Alia, you're showing some of your own work at this.
I am. I'm actually showing work in progress, because I think it's interesting, or I hope it'll be interesting, to see how I start building my works of art. I am very grateful to have received a commission from the Embry Family Foundation to create a work called Walls. And Walls is about the murals in our community that are in existence already down in Rifle, up all the way to the new Shepherd Fairies mural up in Aspen about power. And we're also going to have new murals coming in the next year into Carbondale. And I'm really interested in the social justice commentary about murals. And then how can we make those walls walk and talk and move? Mm. So there's that literal aspect. And as that area of working in relationship to the murals is coming to be, I am also having a look at the number of walls that are increasing in the world. 2011, there were maybe 12 of these portable countries' borders, and now there are over 112. Mm. And just chatting to my friends driving from Vienna up into Berlin, 11 checkpoints on the road to try and get in. So walls are coming up literally from one country to another, keeping people out, keeping people in. So I'm looking at this huge growth in walls. It was such a relief to me when the Berlin Wall came down. I had no idea how much inattention I held around that. And I am acutely aware, as more of these borders are going up, more of these barriers are going up, that tension is increasing in me. And then I'm just looking at personal walls, what puts my walls up.
You're exploring inner walls.
Inner walls, what puts my walls up, what breaks my walls down. And I, at the Salon, I will really want to know if people will be willing to write down on Post-its and just pop them in a bucket I'll have there on what makes your walls go up, what makes your walls go down, so I can start looking at my community and incorporating that into the work. And I'm going to show two excerpts. One is about a wall of waiting, and the other is about what do you do at imaginary and real walls, and how do you respond to them physically. And they're two dances, short excerpts in progress, that I'd love people to see, so that when they see the finished product, they have a inside experience into its
That's
journey.
Great. What a great idea. I really hope I can make it out. This sounds really neat. So Alia Howe, your segment in the salon is called Walls. Would you like to speak about what else is happening at the salon?
I would. In 8 years of running the salons, I find myself so delighted with this lineup. I have asked Chris Dricky, who is performing solo, but she sings and plays with Chimney Choir, which is an incredible band from Denver. And I've reached out randomly thinking, oh, you know, Chris, would you and Chimney Choir like to come up? And they're always busy off on tour and doing things. And this time I sent a text and I just said, hey, are you? And she said, you know what? I could come up. Mm. And she's so excited about performing solo and having look at her voice and how it shifted and changed since when I first heard her singing in Denver, 2009-ish, when I was teaching her yoga in yoga teacher training. Wow. Everyone in this salon I have a personal connection Aww. With. So we have Chris Dricky performing from Chimney Choir. And then Kirk Robinson, who I also met in a yoga teacher training in Denver, moved up years later to Carbondale. And he's a painter, and he's going to share layers of his work. And it's called Layers, and the layers of interpretation, the layers with which he builds his work. And so we'll get to see him showing works in progress and how he builds his work. And he's an incredibly articulate and insightful talker. So I'm just can't wait to listen to him and share him and be a part of that with the community. Coming back for a second time, we have Jason Rodon, who's going to play three pieces for timpani. And the timpani is an instrument you usually see way in the back of the orchestra, boom, 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 you know, at the end, at the big, and then, and I wonder about their patience and just following the whole score. And what else can the timpani say? So he's actually going to turn the timpani around for us and show us how he has pedals that can make the instrument like a tabla go. And it can also play melody. So we'll have solo timpani pieces.
Wow.
And then one of my most favorite percussionists on the planet, David Alderdice, who is hosting a gamelan orchestra on Friday night in Paonia, is willing to drive up and said yes to coming on Saturday. And he's going to, I believe, he might totally change it up. And it's, I love it in the salon because all of these artists are professionals. And I said, you know, come and show what you're passionate about. And they tell me what they're working on. And then they show up and they're doing something else. But I think David is going to play two Brazilian shakers in little baskets. Mm. And he actually has a YouTube video on this. And I said, I'd love to nerd out to that live. And he just starts.
Nerd out.
He just starts playing the shakers and they're going thump, 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 thump in both hands. And he's talking as he's doing it. And he said, and then I could just change the action. Thump, 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 thump. And he layers and layers rhythms on top of this for 15 minutes. So David Alderdice, two simple instruments and the complexity of how you can change your accents. It just stretches and delights my mind. And so that's everyone with Stefano, six performers.
Yeah. And about how long will the program run?
Probably 2 hours-ish with intermission, give or take 30 minutes.
Sounds like a good time. And that's tomorrow, September 22nd.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
at the launch pad.
$25. Do I need to say that?
$25 admission. Yes. So it sounds well worth it. I'm here with Stefano DeFray and Alia Howe hosting the salon at the Launchpad tomorrow. And one more thing, KDNK is in its fall membership drive right now, which y'all have maybe heard. And I'm wondering if you would like to speak on behalf of why you think it's valuable to support KDNK and how KDNK has benefited your lives.
I'm a member. there is absolutely no reason in this community not to be a member and support the voices of our local community, from keeping up to date on the news, from going globally to NPR news, to listening to the voices of different ages in our community. I catch the immigrant voices, youth empowerment, Raleigh's news. The musical variety is extraordinary. And I just think it's really, really important to keep an objective voice that is not a corporate voice live and on the air in these times.
Yes. Thank you so much, Alia. And you, Stefano, do you have
I've been a member since 2014. That's actually true. Since Michael Gorman turned me on to the station. And I feel that we feel so disconnected from so many, we feel very far away from the news. We don't know the people that are involved. We are often in different places than where it's going on. I think the idea of the community is extremely important. And the involvement from the local radio station, from KDNK, is paramount. It's paramount to building a stronger community, from shows to voices to events. It's something I always look forward to and I listen to.
Well, thanks so much for both of your support, and thank you for expressing yourselves right here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. And
thank you.
I look forward to getting out and checking it out tomorrow.
Yeah.
One more thing, Stefano. Can I get a Christopher Walken interpretation?
It's funny, I just came through the door now. Seeing you, Cody, I want to tell you how much I listen to KDNK. The great, so good. I'm going to be coming to the artist salon on the 22nd. I was just painting this morning, you know, looking at your colors. Orange, red, blue. So many colors of the rainbow. Alia's here. She just ran into the queen over here doing a little plug for KDNK.
I don't think orange is in the rainbow.
Well, I've never been good to figuring out which colors are where, but I can tell you, Frankenstein never scared me, but his wife was nuts.